Luke 10, 38 to 42. You may find that on page 845 in your pew Bibles. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." May the Lord bless this reading in our understanding today. Amen. Well, I think if my mother was the one standing there when Jesus said that, she would have said, "What? Are you kidding?" Well, I'm going to give you something to think about that's going to cool you all off. One of my favorite holiday movies is A Christmas Story. Are you familiar with it? It's about a little boy named Ralphie Parker and his family. And the movie is narrated by a seemingly adult Ralphie as he describes one Christmas where all he wanted was a Red Ryder air rifle. Unfortunately, his mom and dad were not keen to the idea, mainly because they would tell him, "You will shoot your eye out, put your eye out." That's right. But there's a scene where the Parker family is gathered around the dining room table, you may remember it, and the mother is fussing and fixing and attending to the children and the father, and the narrator comments, "My mother had not had a hot meal for herself in 15 years. It sort of sounds like mothers everywhere, I think. But that reminded, whenever I read these verses about Martha running around in a flurry of activity, I'm reminded of that scene and the fact that this poor lady never had a hot meal. So I want you to think about that winter scene, you know, when they're all bundled up and little Ralphie sticks his tongue to the basketball post, or maybe it was one of the other kids that did that. And that'll cool you off. Well, anyway, this particular translation doesn't say specifically who it is that's accompanying Jesus to visit Mary and Martha, but others mention that Jesus is being accompanied by the 12 disciples. So when we understand that, we get a much better appreciation of the stress that Martha must be feeling. It's one thing to host three people, it's quite another to host 15. While Scripture doesn't say that what tasks she is performing, many commentators assume that she was preparing a meal. And I can see Martha now in my mind's eye, bustling from room to room, stirring pots, setting the table, hurrying to get everything done. And that whole time, her frustration grows until eventually she boils over, just like a pot on the stove. She doesn't even address her sister, but she looks directly at Jesus and says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." And I can imagine her there with her hands on her hips, maybe a spoon in her hand. Well, all conversation stops. And they look at Martha, Mary, and Jesus, and the other disciples. And after a few moments of silence, Jesus answers quietly, "Martha, Martha, you are distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." I can only hope there were a couple disciples got up at that point to go help out, but We don't know that. Well, on the surface, there are a couple things happening here. Jesus is being hosted by these two sisters, but he's also speaking and teaching. And I can imagine the room with all the disciples gathered around him, and with Mary at his feet. And while Martha focuses on the nuts and bolts of preparing a meal, Mary sits and listens attentively to Jesus' words. The personalities of Mary and Martha couldn't be different, more different. One is a doer, someone that sees a practical need and then moves to meet that need, while the other is more of a deep thinker, interested in seeking wisdom and understanding of the way God mysteriously works in our lives. Is one better than the other? Not necessarily. Jesus said that Mary has chosen the better way, but that doesn't mean that what Martha is doing is not important as well. And I believe the world needs both of these types of people. I tend to be more of a Martha than a Mary. And Martha knows if they're going to eat, someone has to prepare it. There was no Brother's Pizza down the street to order carryout. As I studied this week, I stumbled upon a poem written by a lady named Emily Rose Proctor. She's a Presbyterian minister in North Carolina. And it describes this moment and highlights the differences between these two ladies. It's entitled, To Each Their Own, To Each Her Own. Martha knows the dinner will not cook itself. Mary feels the moment swiftly passing. Martha knows each thing has its place. Mary notices how each thing changes with the light. Martha knows a word from him could change things. Mary turns the words like honeyed almonds in her mouth. Martha knows the kitchen turned temple, the pot of stew a thurible, filling every empty space. Mary listens with a thirst that frightens her for something that makes no sound. In case you didn't know, a thurible is you see them in Catholic churches, but they are on chains and they're used to burn incense. So the implication there is the pot of stew is spreading an aroma all through the house. Well, in this response, Jesus says only one thing is necessary. So I wonder, have you ever stopped to think about what that one thing might be? Last week we heard the story of the lawyer approaching Jesus and asking a question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? The answer the lawyer gives is what Jesus sometimes referred to as the greatest commandment. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And then what followed was a story about neighbors. Jesus described opening our hearts to people in need, people needing compassion, using our God-given resources to help others, and teaching us precisely what it means to love our neighbors. And of course, he uses the well-known parable of the Good Samaritan to convey that wisdom. Is it possible then that Luke, when he was writing this account of Jesus' life, moved on to record a story about Jesus visiting the other half of that commandment, the part about loving the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and strength. By telling a simple story of hospitality and a visit to the home of Mary and Martha. If so, perhaps it will help us understand what Jesus meant by one thing being necessary. Well, I spent a lot of time thinking and reading about other people's thoughts throughout this week. And I returned again and again to the scriptures and read Jesus' words, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things." And I thought perhaps that those words right there might be the key to understanding this verse. Martha is busy taking care of different tasks. We don't know what they are, but Scripture describes her as being fraught with worry and distraction. I don't know about you, but when I get distracted, the one important thing that needs doing doesn't get done. In this case, whereas Mary is contented and focused on Jesus, Martha is stressed out and annoyed. Well, in one commentary written by Reverend Elizabeth Meyer Bolton, she comments that unlike Martha, Mary has taken the time to linger, to savor, and to delight in Jesus' presence in their home. Is this the one thing, I wondered? This single-minded focus, which has filled her with joy? If so, Jesus says, this will not be taken from her. Mary sits basking in the presence of God. Well, this prompted me to think about my own devotion time. Do I shut out everything else and simply focus on experiencing God's presence? Does it fill my heart with joy and nourish my spirit for the day ahead? I have to be honest, it doesn't always. Some days I look at my list of devotions and scriptures, the long list of prayer concerns, and I see it as a burden. Something necessary but time-consuming, a chore that is holding me back from getting started on my list of stuff to do. As a result, I sometimes hurry through the readings and consolidate my prayers and subsequently receive very little nourishment as a result. And I ask myself, is this what God wants from me? Is this an example of loving God with all my heart, mind, and strength? Mary chose the better way. This story is not about taking time to read scriptures or listen attentively or even practice good hospitality. It's a story of celebrating God's presence, of relishing and immersing ourselves in creation, of being aware and sensing God's presence in even the most minute and mundane details of our lives. It's a story of Sabbath. Similarly, this story is not a critique of kitchen duty, of being proactive, or of getting things done. Rather, it's a critique of worry and distraction, of becoming fragmented and allowing ourselves to succumb to busyness at the expense of Sabbath. To find Sabbath is to find a time set apart and holy. And we all need this, not just once a week, or dare say twice a year, but each and every day, maybe even several times a day. A time of quiet contemplation and celebration of the life that God has given us. And I think this is what Martha loses sight of, and perhaps what we lose sight of as well. So where do you find Sabbath? Is it in solitude, in thoughtful silence? Perhaps it's sitting in a garden or taking a walk in the woods. You can even find Sabbath in acts of caring through cooking or cleaning. I know that's not one of my gifts, or study, or service. It's not so much the task, it's the attitude with which you do the task. Maybe you've never thought about this, and you're not sure where your personal Sabbath can be found, well, I'd like to encourage you today to look for it. Think about it. Discover what your personal Sabbath is. What helps you experience a sense of peace, a sense of God's presence in your life. And then once you discover it, return there frequently. Because this, I think, is what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. It's the one necessary thing that God desires of us. To give ourselves up to Sabbath, to holy moments, to open our hearts and receive the love that God wants to give us. Amen.